For 45 years, the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota has been doing groundbreaking work in the care and rehabilitation of Midwest raptors. And our guest today is their curator of birds, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Great to have with us by phone Joanna Eccles. She is a conservation biologist, has had a 30-year career working for the Minnesota Zoo, the World Parrot Trust, the Audubon, and currently at the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota. So we'll talk with her about what they do at the center and how you can help raptors. We'll also take your questions or comments or maybe your experiences to share, or maybe even some of your photos. We'd always love to see them as well. She can certainly talk about any raptors, probably other birds, I'm sure other birds as well. She's much experienced. So maybe even need an ID of a bird. Give a question or comment for her. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Send an email or photo to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Joanna Eccles will be talking at the Lake Home and Cabin Show January 25th. Through the 27th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. We'll talk about that as well with her as we move along. Joanna Eccles, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to follow Jeb and Barb and talking about eagles, and I love your show, so great to be on with you.
Well, I'm great to have you with us for sure. Well, first, maybe for those who aren't familiar, what raptors, what birds are considered raptors? Let's start with that, basic.
That's a very good question. So, in general, raptors are carnivores, but of course they're not the only birds that are carnivores. They're carnivorous birds that have a couple of key characteristics in common. So, raptors have a specific style of beak, a very sharp hooked beak. They have talons, so their nails are modified into very sharp, strong talons. And they also generally have an amazing sense of their eyesight is excellent. So those three characteristics together with the, you know, carnivorous nature is what really classifies a bird as a raptor. So there are some, like vultures, who are technically raptors, but they don't have the super strong talons. But in general, those things are what they share.
And as we think about raptors here in the Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, so forth, Iowa, Illinois, what are the raptors who live in the upper Midwest?
Yeah, so we have a number of raptors that are common in the upper Midwest, and a lot of them in common between, say, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and those states that you mentioned. So we have a number of different falcons. So common examples would be a peregrine falcon or an American kestrel. There are a couple others, too, less commonly seen. They are the classic hawks, so the red-tailed hawks that you see on the light poles along the highways. The broadwing is probably the other common bird of that sort of category, the Buteos, the soaring raptors. We have a couple of different, or many different kinds of owls. We actually have about 12 different kinds of owls in the upper Midwest. Some of them, they're sort of in the two categories of the owls with tufts of feathers on their heads. So a common one in that category would be the great horned owl, a little one with the tufts would be the screech owl, and then there's the owls that don't have tufts. So those would be sort of the rounder profiled bird owls, like the great gray. The barred owl would be a common sort of urban suburban version of that owl. Then we also have the vultures, the ospreys, the eagles, and the other one that is sort of an outlier, but a super interesting raptor is the harrier, the northern harrier. That's a bird that used to be called, still called by many people, the marsh hawk. Yeah. So those are kind of the general breakdown and some of the examples of the raptors you see in this area of the country.
Well, I was thinking about one. We have a sound of a snowy And that's one that we're seeing more of in Wisconsin in recent years, for maybe for a variety of reasons. Dave, you got a snowy owl for us? Let's see if we can hear a snowy owl. Oh, maybe we can't. We thought we had the snowy owl, but I guess we don't. But we are seeing more of them as they come to live from, or come at least to feed from, Canada.
Yes, snowy owls are always a major crowd pleaser. Absolutely striking, huge white owl, white with peppered with black to varying degrees. And snowy owls, we see them coming down into Minnesota and Wisconsin, especially when the prey population in Canada, where they prefer, gets low. So they're really very bound to that cycling of the prey. And so we see them in the clinic here at the Raptor Center, sort of the same as when people are, you know, reporting them out, out in to go visit, to go find. When people are reporting them, we sort of start to see spikes in them too. Last year we had a lot of snowies. We had 40 snowies last year, which was a really unusual number. The normal for us to see at the Raptor Center in a year would be, you know, five or less. I think we took in about five snowies last year, but the year before, so the 2017-2018, we saw 40 snowies, which was really high.
Oh, it is.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
You don't actually hear them that often. They're not...
Yeah, there they go. Yeah, they're not large scale vocalists, if you might say.
Right. Yeah. The ones that people tend to hear in their neighborhoods are the great horned owls and the barred owls. And great horned owls are actually quite loud right now in my neighborhood. I know. Because there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's breeding season, isn't it?
Yes, it's breeding season. So the great horned owls are among the first birds to breed in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And so they could be on eggs even as early as January here. But they've been courting since, I know, at least December.
Well, Chris in Invergrove Heights, Minnesota has something for us. Let's go to Chris. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for getting me on. How rare are albino hawks in the area? We've got, I could have sworn it's a red tail, but it sits on the side by the police station down in Invergrove, and it's white.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting. There are, I know years ago at the zoo we had, and they called it a partial albino, but a bird that was actually found in Wisconsin, and that bird was one that was really very, very white, all white. He even had white talons and a white beak. And there are individuals, not just hawks, but of birds of all kinds that have come up with crazy coloration. And sometimes it's true albinism, and sometimes it's some type of leucism, they call it, where just the dark pigments don't come in either part of the body or the whole body. So there can be huge variations. I've seen everything from downy woodpeckers to robins to the Hawk Ridge here in Minnesota had a stunning photo of a bird that they caught this past fall that had just a couple of dark feathers. Like, I think it had one or two dark tail feathers and one or two wing feathers on each feather, on each wing, that were normal, and the rest was just this, you know, abnormal coloration. Also, red tails vary a tremendous amount in their coloration, even when they're normal. So they can be extremely light, or they can be extremely dark. And there's actually subspecies that are very light, and subspecies that are very dark, and then just sort of a natural variation as well. So they're one of the most variable birds of prey, I would say, we have in the Midwest.
Oh, very interesting. Chris, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I did want to mention that Joanna Eccles will be participating in the Lake Home and Cabin Show. It's January 25th through the 27th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. So if you already own a lake home or a cabin or a cottage, or if you're interested in someday buying one, and people who want to furnish or decorate existing places in rustic or cabin decor. So the majority of attendees are from the greater Madison area, south and central Wisconsin, and so forth. And this is the 15th annual Lake Home and Cabin Show. And I think if you just type that into a search engine, you're going to find it. And Joanna will be speaking there, and we can talk some more about this after our news break. But her topic is wild about raptors, and so she'll be talking about some of the same things that we're talking with her about today. That should be a lot of fun, Joanna.
Yes. So we have about 28 birds in our education collection. So those are birds that are permanent residents of the Raptor Center that we have trained to take out to programs like this. So we'll actually have 6 birds with us, and we'll be doing a booth style, you know, we'll have a booth style presence the whole time, all the open hours. And then in addition, we'll have a stage presentation where we'll get to, you know, people up close with at least, you know, 3 or 4 of the birds at a time and talk about some of their natural history and all of these topics that people are so interested in. So that's in, we're doing one in Illinois, actually this coming weekend, and one in Madison, and then we're back in Minneapolis. So Lake Home and Cabin Show, those at 3 different places, 3 different weekends.
Yeah, and the one January 25th through the 27th is in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center. And if you go online, you're going to hear, be able to just type in Lake Home and Cabin Show, Madison, and you're going to get all the information you need for that. In the meantime, though, Joanna's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today to answer your questions or hear your experiences about raptors. I'm really looking forward to talking with her as well about the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota. It's a fabulous place, and we'll learn some more about that as well. First, we'll take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back with Joanna Eccles. You stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about birds of prey, raptors, with our guest today, Joanna Eccles. 30-year career working with birds for the Minnesota Zoo, the World Parrot Trust, Audubon. She's currently at the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota, where she is curator of birds. So, questions about raptors, or maybe even songbirds, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Can email your question or comment or your photo to ideas@wpr.org. We would love to hear from you. And Joanna, we have a question from Mike in Portage County. Let's just take that, and then we'll talk about the Raptor Center. Mike, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I keep a small flock of free-range chickens, and over the years I lost quite a few to red-tailed hawks, and I was just wondering if there's anything I can do to keep my chickens safe and still let them be free-range.
Yes. So do your chickens not come in at night?
Yes, they do.
They do?
Well, I had one hawk inside my chicken coop eating a chicken when I came home from work one day.
Oh, right. And you said red-tailed. I thought immediately of great horned owls when you said chickens. So, oh, that's a hard one. They used to call them chicken hawks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And certainly some red tails will, they're pretty smart and savvy, and they'll take advantage of whatever resource that they have. I appreciate your interest in protecting hawks as well as protecting your chickens. Besides having them have a shelter of some kind, I'm not actually sure what people do to when they have free range, when they have their chickens free ranging during the day in raptor habitat.
I'm not sure either, especially since they're free range. You can't, I mean, I know there are people who have covered areas, netting and so forth, but if they're free range, that's probably a pretty tough thing to do. Impossible, probably, I guess.
Maybe, yes.
Well, maybe somebody else has got an idea or has had an experience on what they've done, Mike, so stay listening. Let's see what else we come up with here. Joanna, let's talk about the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota. What's your mission? Certainly part of it's education, but there's more as well.
Absolutely, yes. So the Raptor Center was founded in 1974 as part of the College of Veterinary Medicine here at the University of Minnesota. But we're this odd sort of thing. We're a nonprofit within the University of Minnesota. So we get a lot of benefit from being with the university. We do a lot with the veterinary school. We have interns and veterinarians training with us all the time. But we basically specialize in the medical care, rehabilitation, and conservation of raptors, so eagles, hawks, owls, falcons. And we see about 1,000 sick or injured raptors every year. And most of those come from Minnesota, but also the states, you know, right around us. And good thing to know about us, like I said, we're a nonprofit, so we're fully funded by the community, really, in terms of the gift of time. So we have about 300 active volunteers with us that work from anywhere from with our education program to down in our clinic, to our flight crews, even to transporting birds. When we get calls about injured raptors out in the community, we have a bunch of transport volunteers that will actually work together to get them here. So the mission is all around that rehabilitation and education and conservation. We do a lot of research and are, like you said, really the clinic staff is recognized for their really groundbreaking work in things like even orthopedics and the critical care of raptors.
Yeah, it's an amazing place for sure. If people want to see the website, where do they go for the website, by the way?
So the website is an easy one. It's theraptorcenter.org, and you can also follow us on our social media, Facebook and Instagram, at the Raptor Center. And we also do education programs. So we had a caller, Chris, from Invergrove. So some people are listening from Minnesota. Good to know that we are open to the public. So we have a visitor center here. In fact, newly renovated. We have a lot of really cool exhibitry. And also you can take a tour to see the education raptors. Or even do a program. We do public programs on the weekends where you can see a number of the birds that live with us permanently as education ambassadors. So a lot of ways to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take another call or two. Christy in Chippewa Falls will go to you. Hi.
Hi, thank you. Just in response to the recent caller with the free-range chickens, raptors, taking them out, the National Audubon website shows an organic free-range chicken farm in Canada that uses livestock guardian dogs.
Oh.
And also,
great idea.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's practical for that person's scale of operation, but it's really an interesting idea because it also addresses coyote and wolf predation, but that it's sustainable using dogs with other livestock.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Christy. Boy, thank you very much for calling.
Plus, those are just really cool dogs.
Yeah.
They
definitely are, and a great tip from Christy. Thank you again. Ben in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Ben.
Okay, I just wondered, how do you, as a owner of a home here, in Madison area, how can you promote or encourage, families or raptors to come and settle? I had a horned owl here, but then it disappeared, left, and rabbits have multiplied like crazy. So.
Are you on the east side of Madison, the west, north?
West side.
West side of Madison, okay. Well, I bet you might have had a great horned owl. You might think you lost them, but there's probably great horned owls in every part of Madison, almost be my guess. Joanna, a comment from you, though.
Yeah. So there's a number of things that you can do to make your habitat more attractive to any birds, but also to raptors. So kind of starts with the basics. You can plant native plants. I know that sounds a long way from raptors, but native plants support native insects, which support native birds and mammals and what those things support, obviously, are raptors. So starting with that very basics, you can do things like leave dead trees standing. We have a tree we killed in our backyard. It's a favorite perching spot for birds of prey when they're coming and surveying our area. So leave dead trees standing, plant native plants. Also, a number of birds of prey are attracted to nesting boxes. So most of them are not cavity nesters, but some of them are. So examples would be both screech owls on the owl side, and on the daytime side, the American kestrels are also cavity nesters. So those two will use, if you have the right habitat, those two will use nesting boxes. So make your habitat as good as you can. Reduce the threats in your property as much as possible. That includes, like, not using toxins, protecting birds from your windows, things like that. So increase the habitat as best you can, including perching habitat. Decrease the threats as much as you can.
One interesting way to do it is to put up some bird feeders because
that's true too.
We get many calls from people saying, oh, these raptors come in and are taking my birds. My songbird says they're at the feeders. And that'd be a way to attract all kinds of birds, but maybe raptors too.
Yeah. Yes, definitely the bird hunting raptors, the accipiters, they're called. So the Cooper's hawks and the sharp-chinned hawks are real common in metro areas. And they do definitely peruse the offerings at bird feeders whenever there's a concentration of birds, whether it be from a natural source or from a handouts. They're going to spot that activity and come check it out.
So there you go, Ben. Thank you so much. Lots you can do. Let's go to Joe in Prairie du Sac. Hi, Joe.
Hey, I thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm going to try to talk quick because I know you guys do this. Anyhow, years ago, a golden retriever of mine, I used to run with me through the fields in a snowy. This is in Superior, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped off of a telephone pole and lowered right down on top of him, and he actually even dropped his talons. And I was driving the Toyota Celica at the time, and he would come to the horn. So I honked the horn, but he knew he was under distress.
Oh, the retriever.
To the point that I had to duck to get out of the way of that snowy when my golden jumped into the vehicle.
Oh, my goodness. So there we've got an experience with a snowy owl dropping on a golden retriever and hanging on even when the retriever jumped into the back of the truck.
Well, you think you've heard it all.
Man, what a story.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm not sure what was going on there. It could have been chase this threat out of my area. I'm not sure if it was like try to catch this thing. If it was a smaller dog, I might think that. But I'm not sure what's going on. That's an amazing story, though.
Yeah, it sure is. Thanks, Joe, for calling. Appreciate it. A number of listeners called to suggest ways to stop raptors from getting at chickens. They include getting roosters, a donkey, and geese.
Okay, now we know.
Among other things. And Ray and Ashland's got yet another one, so let's go there. Hi, Ray.
Hello. We've had trouble with different types of birds capturing our chickens, and I got a hint from a friend of mine where we string a fishing line across our area, like from one building to the next or whatever will work. And I think because of the keen eyesight of these birds, we have no trouble anymore of our chickens being taken away by predators.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. Thanks for that. I have heard that technique used when you have a confined area and you have, say, people have their ponds and they have, you know, ornamental fish in their ponds. And I've heard that technique used in places like that where you can, you know, you have the, you know, a confined area where you can do something like that. And I can imagine the same thing would work. That's great news.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. By the way, you can join in at 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. You're doing a lot of research, aren't you, at the Raptor Center right now?
Yeah, that's one of the great things about being in close connection with the University of Minnesota is that opportunities for research come up pretty frequently. So we're doing some things locally, and we're doing some things internationally. So it's mostly the research work is being done in our clinic, and I'm in the education department, so I kind of hear about it, but I'm not intimately involved in it. But we're doing some work, for example, testing the effects of neonicotinoid pesticides on raptors. We're doing some work with anticoagulant research on actually the Galapagos hawk. A lot of work comes out of just our day-to-day clinic where we take information on every one of these birds that comes in, whether it makes it or doesn't make it, and all of that comes together to answer some of these basic questions. So a great example is lead poisoning. I know you talked a little bit about lead poisoning in the previous segment, but a lot of the work here that came out of here on lead poisoning really pointed us to the lead ammunition as a source for the spikes we would see in bald eagle admissions in the fall right after deer hunting season. So that kind of research is invaluable, and it's coming out of just, again, all the information that's being gleaned from the birds and the tests that are taken on them, the injuries that they're sustaining, where they're coming from, and things like that.
You know, we recently had a listener call in to express her concern about using rodenticides to get rid of rodents, and it in turn hurting raptors when they eat those rodents that have died from rodenticide. Can you tell us anything about this particular area?
Yes, absolutely. So that's a very valid concern. So rodenticides are basically, you know, a killer for rodents. So any kind of poison or toxin, I think, before we even get specific, it's good to think about any poison you use around your property, whether it be to kill insects or to kill certain plants or to kill rodents. So let's just start there, that just we should have an abundance of caution anytime we're using anything that's made to kill things. Because there are going to be secondary effects beyond what you're targeting. And that is the case we see with rodenticides. So a common ingredient used in rodenticides is basically an anticoagulant. So it basically kills the rodents somewhat slowly from internal bleeding. So not pleasant in that way, obviously. But the thing about it is that those rodents then are alive for a while, and they are easily caught by birds of prey. In fact, there's some documentation of birds of prey that actually hang out near traps like that so that when and catch rodents that are coming out of there. And so we see a lot of, the primary reason for coming in, we see birds that have potentially rodenticide poisoning. And studies that have been done, we don't actually test birds for those chemicals because, honestly, the tests are just not affordable enough. Yeah. But in places where they have studied that, they have found exposure in birds of prey. It's well documented in many countries. And even if it's kind of like lead, when we get bald eagles in, turkey vultures in, we test them all for lead. And sometimes they're not showing clinical signs of lead poisoning, but they test positive for lead. And bearing in mind that no level of lead, no level of rodenticide is normal, a huge percentage of birds of prey that are tested for rodenticides are actually found to be exposed. So wherever we can use alternatives. So alternatives to rodenticides would be things like classic snap traps, if you think you have to use lethal control snap traps. And it's also good to know that some of those techniques we talked about earlier for attracting raptors are actually more effective in reducing rodents than killing them with rodenticides. And that's actually been proven now with studies out in California.
That is very, very interesting. Thank you. Thanks so much for that explanation. John in Oneida has something for us. Let's go there. John, hi.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Okay, well, I you know, when I was young, if the where I lived behind us in the fall was wet, then that would freeze the swamp. So that would be a little ice skating rink and hockey rink. So this all came one day while we were playing, and it was snowing out. But it was a short white owl, very short. And when we hit the puck, it would go after the puck. And we played until that thing left. I mean, it was just so amazing. To us, you know, we never knew what it was, but...
Oh, my goodness. Well, a puck is black and small enough, it could look like a rodent.
That's amazing. And we're, yes, you know, the bird that came to mind was actually the barn owl. Now, they're really not commonly seen at all in Minnesota or, I imagine, Wisconsin.
No, they're not.
But they are a smaller, very white owl, and I'm not sure where that location is, but
Oneida, northern, a bit north of in northern Wisconsin, I guess we could say.
Yeah, not likely to be a barn owl. That's another interesting story.
Yeah, a great story. I love it. Well, I wanted to mention just again that Joanna is also participating. She'll be in Madison on January 25th through the 27th for the Lake Home and Cabin Show. If you own a cabin or a cottage and interested in, or maybe you're interested in buying one, this would be a good place to go. Maybe you're interested in even redecorating. And some great educational opportunities at the show, including Joanna, who's her special talk will be wild about raptors. And which raptors are you bringing with you, Joanna?
Yeah, well, we're bringing six different birds of five different species. So we're bringing two red tails. We're bringing a bald eagle, a great horned owl, a peregrine, and an American kestrel.
Oh, and so, and you'll be there, you kind of be there all day, but you'll be doing some special presentations as well.
Yeah, we'll actually have a booth where the birds will be perched out except when they're in the programs. And then we do two programs on Friday, three on Saturday, and two on Sunday, and that's the same schedule for the all three of the Lake Home and Cabin shows.
Joanna, would you come back and be with us again?
Absolutely. We'd love to.
Love to have you back. Joanna Eccles, our guest. She has a long career working with birds. She is currently the raptor at the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota, where she is the curator of birds. And go to that Raptor Center, University of Minnesota Raptor Center. Go online. You're going to learn a whole lot more about what she's doing and what the great work that they're doing at the Raptor Center. Well, just taking a look tomorrow at this time, Chad Spate will be back to talk about home electrical and, of course, take your home improvement questions. Thanks for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.